Now, John, let's get into John. John chapter 1. Hey, if you want the notes today, you can text Rev Notes, all one word, R-E-V Notes. No, actually, you can't. That was for Sunday. Well, if you want Sunday's notes, you can text Rev Notes. There's some good stuff in there. Today, you just got to follow along. If you got a Bible, great. Open it up. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see that when you open up Genesis. What did God do? He spoke. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If you go down there to verse 14, John says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He who was in the beginning with God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Christmas story. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Lord, we just love You. We praise You. We thank You for this moment right now. Father, we know who You are. We know who Your Word says. God, I just pray for a fresh feeling of faith today, a fresh feeling of Your Holy Spirit, that we would just realize that grace and truth came in the flesh in the form of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank You that You sent Him. We thank You for the life He lived and the death He died. But we thank You most of all that He didn't stay in the grave. We know that there's power in the Word. And so we just pray today for power to move throughout the room, throughout every heart, that Your Word would cut through spirit and soul and change our destinies today. In the name of Jesus, all God's people say, amen. All right, let's get into it, church. Luke 4, verse 1. Says this. This is after the birth. Before He started His ministry, Jesus, having been baptized, it says He is filled with the Holy Spirit. It says He returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, was led by the Spirit. Who are you led by? Who leads your life? Jesus chose to submit His life to the Spirit of God. The Spirit led Him into the wilderness. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days He ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. And the devil said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The devil will come at you and challenge your identity. He did it to Jesus, He'll do it to you. If He did it to Jesus, He'll do it to you. If you are a son, if you are a daughter, because by Jesus, by His blood, you've been adopted as sons and daughters. If you've confessed Him as Lord and Savior, guess what? You've been adopted. By the blood, you now have an inheritance. It's better than anything you're going to get tomorrow. It is. There's no end to it. It's eternal. Everything in this world, it will not last. But the seed of God, the seed of his word, the inheritance that we receive through him, it's incorruptible. It's eternal. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. He'll challenge your identity. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." We live by the word of God. Coming up, we're going to do 40 days of prayer and fasting. In the past, we've just done 21. And you're like, well, 40 days. Listen, you don't have to go the full 40 without eating. But if you want to, you can. What we try to do, we encourage this, we teach this. Find something. Go to the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to you in this season. Ask him, what is it you want me to give up? What is it that's keeping me from you? What is it that's pulling me away from you? We've all got something. For some of you, it's going to be really easy. Right now, the Holy Spirit's already telling you Netflix, HBO, your phone. You want me to fast from my phone for 40 days? Delete every app that's a distraction from you spending time with the Lord. If the Lord is telling you today, delete it from your phone. Spend 40 days in the Word and see what it's like when you start living on that rather than everything you keep living on in the world. Start to see. Test him and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what Jesus did. What we do when we fast is we're tasting and seeing that his word is better than any bread in this world, better than anything we keep trying to feed off of in this world. Test him and see. He's good. Take that challenge with us in January. We're going to get into the word. We're going to be in a new series in Galatians. We're going to be going through that. We're going to be going through Scripture. We're all year long, we're just going to be in the Word. And we want people to come along with us because we know when you start to get into the Word of God, he will change your life. Because guess what? Jesus is the Word. People all the time are like, I want to hear Jesus. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear the Holy Spirit. First of all, open up the Word. People want a word from the Lord. Start right here. He wants to speak to you, but you can't discern whether it's from him or someone or something else unless you know him. This is how you get to know him. You get into the word, and then all of a sudden you'll know. You'll be able to discern the voice of his Holy Spirit because his Holy Spirit is still speaking today. He's been speaking from the very beginning. He's still speaking, and he'll continue to speak. But you have to be able to test and see and discern, is this from the Lord or no? Is this from the world? Is this from a deceiving spirit? You got to get into the Word. Get into the Word. Jesus answered him saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." This is what we live on, the Word of God. Then the devil said, verse 5, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." So the devil will challenge your identity, and then if he can't break you of your identity, he'll try to give you a shortcut. The devil wants to give you a shortcut, and everybody wants a shortcut, right? Like we all, the easy button, right? We want that. Like we don't want to go through the valley. We just want to walk in the victory. I just want to be victory, victory, victory. But sometimes you got to go through the valley because the valley is what prepares you to handle the victory. There's things that he will teach you in the valley that you can't learn on the mountain, but it will prepare you for the mountain. Think about the life of David, a man after God's own heart, anointed to be king. But then he spent over a decade in the valley, living in the cave, living in debt and distress, and living with a bunch of people who were in debt and in distress and discontent. And some of you are like, yeah, that sounds like my family Christmas tomorrow. A bunch of people in debt, in distress, and discontent. Bunch of bitter babies. Right? Well, guess what? You might be in your David season, in your cave season, and he's preparing you for something. What did David do? He led. He led by example. He led by the word. He kept the Lord near him in his heart. And so even when he was in the cave with those who were in debt and distress and discontented, he kept just leading out by faith. And those same people that came to him in the cave and they were bitter and they were in debt and they were in distress, those are the same people we see later on listed off in Scripture as David's mighty men. You don't know. Some of you, you don't even understand the calling God has on your life. Some of you are like, I hate the people I work with. They're the worst. I hate my family. I hate, you don't even know. They're just the worst, and they're just a bunch of babies, and they're bitter, and they're all these things. And let me tell you something. And you're kind of looking around. You're like, God, this is who you gave me. This is my team. I'm at work. This is my family. This is my spouse. Some of you are doing that. This is my spouse. What did David do? He just kept leading by faith. And he kept speaking power and faith and grace and truth over the people God gave him. And guess what? The Word of God changes people. And so when you start to declare the Word of God over people just in faith, even when you can't see it, even when it feels like, oh my goodness, things are never going to change, things are always going to be bad, it's always going to be this way. But if you just speak by faith, I know the Word can bring change and bring life. Because that's what the Word does. The Word is a seed, and it brings dead things back to life. The Word is resurrection. It's in your mouth. He's near you right now in your mouth. Just begin to declare it. You're like, oh, you don't understand. My marriage is on its last leg. We're about done. We can't go on anymore. Just begin to declare it by faith. I see it. I see new life coming to this marriage. I see new life coming to these kids. I see my son and my daughter coming home. Even though they're far from him right now, I see them come. I see mom and dad coming to know Jesus. Even though they're far from him right now and they don't care about the Lord, I see it. I see it and begin to speak it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Just begin to declare the word over your life. And let me tell you something. They went from those who were in debt, distress, and discontent, they became David's mighty men. They accomplished many great things. Why? Because one person chose to go first and to speak faith in the valley. And what happens? They go from the valley to victory. You go from living in a cave to living in the kingdom. You're invited into the kingdom today. That's why Jesus came. He invites you into the kingdom. Just say yes to Jesus. And he invites you into his kingdom. And he's going to teach you the ways of the kingdom. And it starts with the mouth. Go to Romans 10. Go to Romans 10. I had this later on, but I want to get there now. We got to get there now. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you. The Word came and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. And now what's it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that easy. Our kids were wanting to get baptized this past year. And so we were just talking with them about faith and what that looks like and what it means to be saved. And we just started going through scriptures with them. And this is the most simple scripture. It's not complicated, it's easy. He made it easy. Look, did you see this? Religion says, oh, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's that easy. It can happen in a moment. It can happen for you tonight. If it's never happened before, if you've never made that confession, it can happen tonight. In fact, here, you know what? It's Christmas Eve. My goodness, this is different than Sunday morning church. You come here on a Sunday, this place is popping. This place is wild. This Christmas Eve crowd, you guys come in and you're like, not everybody's here. I know, we got two services. Some people are coming to the second service and you're kind of like, my friends aren't here. It's a little quieter than usual. Nobody's dancing, nobody's jumping. This kind of, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be weird. You can be weird. It's all right. Dance like David for the Lord. It's all right. Now listen, we're going to get a little interactive tonight. There might be somebody in here that's never confessed Jesus as Lord in their life, but they want to right here, right now. And they want the gift. So we're going to do it together, church. And if that's you, my goodness. Some of you are like, oh, I've already done that. You're not doing it for yourself right now. You're doing it to give somebody boldness right now to declare for the very first time that Jesus is Lord. So you ready, church? We're going to do this all together. I'm going to say, Jesus is Lord, and we're going to all say it together. You guys ready? Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Somebody right there for the very first time, you might have come in and you might have been like, I've never done that before, but praise the Lord, I just did, because I do believe it and I wanted to say it, but I needed a little help. I needed a little help from my friends that don't even know that we're friends yet, but we're going to be friends. Thank you. My goodness. Listen, it's all about the word. What you speak, there's power in it. Go on here. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So if you feel shame tonight, I want you to know that's the devil. The devil loves, shame is a tool of the devil. Now conviction, that's the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be in here and you might be feeling a little conviction. Let him convict you. Let him change you. Let him call you back home today. You know, some of you, you're here tonight and you've been living far from him, and there's that little bit of conviction right now. And you're like, my goodness, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel good enough. He is calling you home tonight. He's not here to shame you. He's here to call you home. The devil wants to shame you. The shame leads to hiding. We go all the way back to the garden. What happened? When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They felt shame and they went into hiding. But thank goodness that there was a sacrifice so that we can come back into the Father's presence tonight. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. That's why he came. Shame loses its power. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So if you feel shame tonight, you take that thought captive and you make it obedient to Christ. If you feel shame come at you later tonight or tomorrow or the next day, you say, devil, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm a daughter of the Most High. I've been adopted and covered by the blood. That's who you are. Don't forget your identity. When the devil tries to get you to doubt your identity, say, no, devil, I know who I am. I'm the Lord's. Don't doubt your identity. Don't take a shortcut to the purpose he's called you to. Say, Lord, your ways are better than mine, and I trust you. In the valley and in the victory, I will trust you. Because I know we go from glory to glory. That's what it says in Scripture. We go from glory to glory. And for some of you today, you've had that moment of glory. You've had that moment where you've been in his presence and you knew, oh my goodness, there's victory here. But right now, you're here and you're in the valley. You go from glory to glory. You feel like you're in, what do we say here? Two. You feel like you're in the two. You're in between glories right now. You see death at your door. You see sickness. You see shame. You see the devil trying to get at you right now. The devil trying to get you to feel like you're all alone and that nobody cares for you, nobody loves you. That's a lie from the devil. Because guess what? The Father sees you right now and he loves you. How do I know that? He showed you on the cross. If you doubt it, just go back to the cross. Go back to Scripture. What's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Don't let the devil convince you that the Lord does not love you. He loves you. He showed you on the cross. He's speaking to you tonight. Take hold of that. Come on. I love it. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich, rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We say this all the time here. The power of life and death is in the tongue. We don't say that lightly. We say that literally. We don't say that lightly. We say that literally. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And you shall eat of its fruit. Some of you don't like the life that you're living right now. You don't like it, and you're like, you're kind of mad at God. You're like, everything's always bad. Everything's terrible. Everything's awful. My relationships are bad. My job is bad. Quit speaking death over your life. Start to speak by faith. Even though you can't see it, begin to speak and declare faith because you've heard the stories. You've heard about the promises. Some of you, you've heard the promises and you're like, oh, that was for them, but not for me. Guess what? You've been adopted into the family. And so the same promises and the same inheritance from the front of this book to the back of the book are for you today. You need to know that and claim it. Take hold of it in the name of Jesus. It's for you today. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for hope and a future. That's for you today. And some of you are like, oh, that was for them. Or that's Old Testament. That, my goodness. We have a better covenant with better promises, it says in Hebrews. Some of you are like, oh, that sounds too Old Testament. That's not New Testament. I'm supposed to suffer. I'm supposed to be sick. Who told you that? Who told you that? Go through and start looking at every promise through his book in the old and the new. And guess what? You'll start to see, oh, what was for the old, it's for the new because there's better promises. By his stripes, we are healed. There's still healing for today. Some of you are like, I don't think that's true. Who told you that? Well, my pastor, did you find it in the Word of God yet? Go find it in the Word of God. See what he says before you begin to trust what man has told you. Because there are things that have been passed down by tradition from one man to another man. And that's where we get when Jesus came. And what did he do with the Pharisees? He rebuked them and said, no, we're not going off tradition. We're going off the word of my Father. What did my Father say? Go back to the Word. Go to Genesis now. Man, it's already 4:30. We said we were going to do like a shorter service because it's Christmas Eve. I could go all night. All right. What's my PA, what's my dead drop time? Like, we got to get people out of here and get people in for the next one. 45, all right. Okay, you just, when you think, hey, he's going too long, you just come up and start playing behind me. Give me that Academy Awards playoff music, you know? Just like, all right, your speech is done. Get out of here. Hey, Genesis, you ready? Let's go to Genesis. I'm not going to go much longer, but I'm going to go a little bit longer because I don't want you to miss this. Okay, Genesis 3, verse 1. Adam and Eve, they've been created. They're in the garden. God gave them one simple command. In fact, here, look at Genesis 2. We can look at it. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. One simple command. And some people get caught up on that and they're like, oh, see, God set them up to fail. No, he gave them the easiest possible test of obedience there ever was. Everything's good except this one tree. Do whatever. Just don't eat of that tree. He made it so easy. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? That's what the devil does. Did God really say? That's what the devil does, right? Like, did God really say that? Did he really say that? No. He wants to get you to doubt the word that you know that you heard from the Lord. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He wants to get you to doubt the word of the Lord. Where is the devil trying to get you to doubt the word of God in your life right now? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please reveal to me any area where I've got doubt right now that comes from the devil. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you. He wants to show you. He wants to lead your life, but he won't force you to follow him. You have to choose every day to submit to his voice. That's what Jesus did. He chose to be led by the Holy Spirit. He was human in nature. Sometimes we're like, oh, no. It was so easy for him. No. He still had to choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. Choose today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Follow him and obey. Obedience matters. We're saved by the confession of faith. But we walk in a different level of blessing when we walk in obedience. There's a blessing in obedience that he wants you to experience today. When you begin to learn to listen and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, just it starts with asking him simple questions. And you're like, that sounds kind of crazy. We can't hear God. Yes, he wants you to hear him today. The more you get into the word, the more you'll be able to discern his voice. But just begin to ask him simple questions and just see what begins to rise up within you. There'll be answers that come to you. There'll be things that come up to you. And I just remember asking a simple question early on. I was like, maybe I could hear God's voice. And it was the dumbest thing ever, but it was what I needed in that moment. And I just said, Lord, can I watch this TV show? And I just heard him clearly say, no, it's junk. It's trash. And you're filling your mind with trash instead of my word. I just asked him a simple question. And I know, I heard his voice. I was like, oh. So if I keep going here, I'm walking in disobedience. I'm not letting him lead my life. I'm choosing to lead my own life. Who leads your life today? Let him lead you. He's better. He knows more. He does. Some of you're like, I've built a pretty good life. I got a pretty good life. He's got a better life for you. I promise you. And it might start to lead to some crazy things or some things that maybe you didn't want to do, but trust him that he's got something better for you today. Begin to ask him these questions. Say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. That's a simple prayer. You can pray that tonight. You can pray that on the drive home. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Become his servant. Everybody loves the Savior part. Nobody loves the Lord part. We all say it. We declare it. But I tell people every time when they get baptized here, you're declaring him as Lord and Savior. Savior's easy, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Will you live the rest of your days on this earth with him as Lord? That's different. That changes everything. That changes who you marry. That changes who you're friends with. That changes your family dynamics. It will separate. Jesus told us it will separate mother and father, son and brother. It will separate your family when you choose to start following the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Eventually your family's going to see, oh my goodness, there's a different level of supernatural fruit coming from their life, and I want what they have. I've seen it. I've seen it in this house. I've seen families come to know Jesus, and at first, guess what? There was division, and there was a parting because they said, you guys are crazy. You guys are wild. My goodness, I don't want anything to do with what you're doing. It looks insane. You're waking up at 9 to go to church at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. I'm sleeping till noon. Right? Like some of you are like, that sounds crazy. But you begin to follow Jesus and walk in obedience, and people see a supernatural fruit because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He produces good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's supernatural. And people see it in your life and they're like, my goodness, they're crazy, but I want that. Because my marriage right now is falling apart. Because I'm living in the valley and I don't know how to get out of the valley. I'm stuck. I'm pretending I'm living in victory, but I'm living in the valley. I'm stuck in addiction. I'm not really free. I'm stuck in this addiction to alcohol, pornography, whatever it is. I'm cheating on my spouse. I'm whatever it is. My goodness, he wants to set you free from it today. You think you've been living in freedom. Guess what? When you try to escape, when you try to quit, are you really free? You're like, no, I can't get free. He will set you free. He's the only one that can. He delivered his people from Egypt. He wants to deliver you from your Egypt tonight. Let him. Let him lead your life. The devil wants to convince you he's got a better way. The devil offers you a shortcut. It's a lie. That's what the devil said. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The devil was right. They weren't going to die that day. But they would die someday. It brought death into the world. The devil knew he could just lie and distort it a little bit. Oh, you're not going to die today. But you'll die someday. You just brought death into the world. What happened? Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what happened? Do you catch this? Catch this right here. She had heard God, but what happened? She saw the fruit. Don't let your eyes lead your life. There's lots of things that you're going to see and it looks good. And you're going to be like, I want that. I desire that. I need that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. What have you already heard from him? Trust what you've heard from him over what you've seen from the world. Trust the word you've heard from him over what you've seen in this world. Because what you see in this world, it will not last. Everything fades. But the word of God abides forever. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. And then what? They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. They were in shame. Verse 14. Verse 13, actually. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. We always play the blame game. It's always somebody else. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. They were driven out from the Lord's presence that day. Go back. Verse 10. When they were hiding from the Lord, and God calls to them. He says, where are you? And Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Who are you listening to? Who told you that? We say that a lot around here. Did it come from the word of God? Are you believing his word over the world? Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Peter says this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, obedience matters. Obedience purifies the soul. You are a soul. You're a spirit, and you're a body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings. And so often in our life, we let our flesh drive, or we let our soul drive. But when you invite Jesus in, as some of you did tonight, you invited Jesus in, and you said, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. You invited his Holy Spirit in. It says your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so I invite you tonight to be led by the Spirit, to ask the Spirit, what do you want from me? What do you say to me? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening tonight. I want to be led by you. Don't be led by an emotion or a feeling. Don't be led by the flesh and your desires. Be led by His Holy Spirit tonight in this place and every day forward. And it will change everything about you. It will change you. It will purify your soul. And so then all of a sudden, your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings, everything that you've been struggling with, and you're like, I'm always going to struggle. I'm always going to have these problems, these issues. Guess what? He wants to set you free tonight. Every anxiety, every worry, every fear, He wants to set you free. For God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. That's what He came to give you tonight. That's the best gift He can give you. Invite His Holy Spirit in and let Him lead you tonight. Would you stand as we close and we get ready to worship the Lord? Worship Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength tonight. We give Him our hands, we give Him our voice, we give Him a shout of praise. Not because we feel like it, but because He's worthy. Some of you are like, I don't feel like doing that. Let His Holy Spirit lead you tonight. Some of you, the Spirit's already saying, raise your hand to me tonight. Put your hands out and receive what I have for you tonight. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, follow me, my ways are better. You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love for one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. His Word lives and abides forever. Times and seasons change, but His Word is everlasting from generation to generation. Jesus can come back today. He can come back when we leave this world. Whenever He comes back, it does not matter. His Word will still be here. Even when we're gone, even when our time is done on this earth, His Word abides forever. Trust in the Word today. Trust in the voice of His Spirit speaking today. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you right now. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the Word. He was the seed that you sowed into this earth. And the seed we know has to die so it can be raised new. And we thank you that He came, and as a seed, He was dead and buried, but He rose again. And we thank you for new life in this house. We thank you that Jesus came and that He was the seed of your word, and that there's new life tonight. In the name of Jesus, we just declare victory, victory, victory. Even in the valley, we can take hold of your word, and there's victory there that endures forever. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's praise Him.